This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين. So bihamdillahi rabbil alameen, this is the start of the explanation of the book This Is Love. And the book is out, by the way. I just want to show this in particular in case you have a copy with a different cover. So if you have it, it's just basically an updated cover. It's the same book, but the cover is different. And this book is about 40 hadiths revolving around love. Basically, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal primarily, and then the love of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and then the love of creation. And every book has a story. Every book has a genesis, a beginning that makes it possible. So I thought in trying to convey to you what the book is about, let me explain why it came into existence. And then you'll understand what the book is about, inshallah. So the story of the book. So once a sister comes and she's asking me, I read the Quran and I find Allah's judgment there. I find the day of judgment. I find hellfire. I find discipline. I find strictness. But where is the love of Allah in the Quran? That is, she is saying and expressing in words and in gestures, I'm craving the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But where do I find it in Islam? And in an attempt to explain all of that, and in saying that all the things that she pointed out are important in providing a balance in your relationship with the Divine, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you can definitely find Allah's love here and here and there. At the conclusion of all of that, I felt that if that is a question that someone has, probably a lot of people do. And some people express it in ways that are slightly different, meaning that I've always been taught throughout my life that I need to pray. And being offered the threat of what happens when I don't. Pray or Allah will punish you. Fast or Allah will punish you. Give zakah or Allah will punish you. And though all of these things are right, it's accurate, but is this the only motivation for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's definitely a motivation, right? So hellfire is there to do what? To inspire you to stay away from the wrong and do what you're supposed to. But is this the only motivation for us to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when someone was asked once, you mean that we actually can worship Allah Azza wa Jal because of love? And I said, yes. He was surprised, because he said, I've never heard that before. The way that we were taught and the way that our parents taught us was that don't do this because Allah will punish you. Do this, otherwise Allah will punish you. But is there another way that complements this? Not replace it, but complement it. And if you take those youngsters who are growing up in non-Muslim countries, who are being subjected to constant criticism of Islam and constant criticism of religion altogether, meaning religion is all about hate, right? But we're not. And particularly Islam is about hate and discipline. That is, you find Allah Azza wa Jal being very judgmental, very quick to punish. If you don't do, Allah will take you to hell. And then they add to this, look at how some Muslims interpret Islam in terms of acts of violence. You don't see any love in that way. So those Muslims, when they see that, it does affect them. So if Islam is all about hate speech, Islam is all about hurting the other, and this is what I found with my teachers, with my parents, then I don't want Islam anymore. Especially that popular culture sings the praises of love. You've heard, love solves everything, and love is the answer, and love and no hate. So that is very attractive. So they say, this is attractive, this is nice. But I don't locate that in Islam. Where can I find that in Islam? Is it all about being judged if I don't and judged if I do? So that internally, there seems to be a need for us to discuss and understand love in Islam. And externally, as we said, you have critics of Islam or non-Muslims who will say Islam is not about love. It's devoid of it. Or if they want to emphasize love in Islam, they will emphasize interpretation of love within the rubric or the umbrella of Islam that exaggerate love at the expense of Allah's revelation. So there are interpretations of love in Islam, mystical, that seek to unite with the divine. That is, if you really love Allah, you could love Him so much that you can unite with Him. And it's a very attractive idea, because that love is all-consuming. You could love everything and everyone. And then the law does not hold its sway anymore, because once you enter the realm of love, everything becomes permissible. So that interpretation is actually emphasized externally, and some Muslims, when they hear that, they think that is love in Islam. Those are the proponents, the experts of love in Islam. Whereas it isn't, because it contradicts the Quran, and it goes against the Sunnah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. So love remains undiscovered. How do I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I love the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? What is the basis of my relationship with other people, Muslims in particular, but also non-Muslims? What is the basis of that relationship? So there is a need to focus on love in Islam and to extract it, not from hawa, not from desire, not from what people said and wrote, but basically go back to the Quran and say, where do you find it? Go back to the Sunnah and say, where can you locate it? And what did the scholars of Islam say about love? So this book collects 40 hadiths from Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam that all of them talk about love. And the primary focus in the beginning of it is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the love of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And then we move into other notions and other understandings of love. So love between the spouses, the idea of a soulmate, the idea of romantic love. The idea of love and hate. Can you have love without hate? The idea of love being an absolute good. Right? Because you are living in a culture, and it's a global culture at this moment, where you are supposed to do what you authentically feel is right for you. You with me? Is this right or wrong? That do whatever you feel like, as long as this is your truth, as long as this is what you love, as long as it is love underlying that, then it's okay. So we want to understand this. Is love an absolute? Does it have a moral compass of its own, or does it need to be guided? Can love at times be extreme, and can love at times be harmful? So the idea, inshallah, in this series is to have a holistic understanding of what love is and to locate love in Islam. So our motivation for love is not only of our motivation for ibadah, for with Allah Azza wa Jal, is not only and simply based on do or Allah will condemn you and judge you. there has to be something else, and in fact, there is something else. So, when it comes to ibadah, and I'm just basically covering the introduction of the book. When it comes to ibadah, the definition of it, right? And this is taken from the words of Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, but he's not alone in that definition. He says, وَالْعِبَادَةُ تَجْمَعُ أَصْلَيْنِ غَايَةُ الْحُبِّ لِغَايَةِ الْدُّبِّ وَالْخُضُورِ. It says, عُبَادَة, worship. If someone were to ask you, define it for me. What makes up ibadah? He says, it has two principles in it, or two foundations. Outmost love with utmost humility and surrender. Meaning complete love and complete surrender. So that if you are to worship someone, you must have those two. And if you have one but not the other, that is not called worship. So if you love someone completely and fully, but you do not surrender and submit to them, that is not called ibadah. Right? You with me? And if you surrender and submit to someone, but you do not love them, but you are compelled to submit to them, like a tyrant, he tells you to do, and you do, because you're afraid, and only afraid, but you don't like them, and you don't love them, he says this is not called ibadah. حَتَّى يَجْتَمِعَ الْأَصْلَانِ. Until you love with all of your heart and surrender with all of your heart and body. And that is only ibadah. So, here he's telling us, rahimahullah ta'ala, that you cannot worship Allah without love. Am I right? Isn't that what is being said? You cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without love. So love is essential. Hope and fear, they come to complement. But the essential relationship that you have with your Creator is a relationship of love. And of course, a surrender to Him. You don't love Him like an equal. You don't love Him like a spouse. That's a wrong type of love. You love Him as you love a one who is superior to you, but nonetheless you love Him. And you don't love Him with part of your heart. Yani, there is a statement attributed to Isa alayhi salam, أَحِبُّ اللَّهَ مِنْ كُلِّ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Love Allah with all your heart. Not with some of it. Because if you love with some, then the rest of it is reserved for something else and someone else. No, he says, love Allah with all of your heart. And that is ibadah. And that is tawheed. And in fact, if we take it back a step and consider another statement from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, and he says, العالم العلوي والسفلي إنما وجد بالمحبة ولأجلها. Because when I'm quoting these things, I need you to understand that this was said before, not something that we're inventing now. It's something that was said before and asserted that this is the truth about Islam. He says, the celestial realms and the earthly realms, meaning this whole universe, was founded based on love and for it. وَإِنَّ حَرَكَاتَ الْأَفْلَاكِ وَالشَّمْسِ وَالنُّجُومِ. That is the movement of the celestial bodies and the sun and the moon and the moon and the movement of the angels and the movement of animals and the movement of every mover is because of love. That is the foundation. You say how? And we will talk more about this in that Azza wa Jal. But when he says, وُجِدَ بِالْمَحَبَّةِ وَلِأَجْلِهَا. With love and for it. So imagine something that is non-existent at this moment. And Allah says, kun, be, and it is. Why did Allah Azza wa Jal move it from a point where it does not exist into a point where it exists? Because Allah Azza wa Jal loves what? Its existence. Otherwise, would He create it? Would He?
I'm used to some nods or yes or no, so I wouldn't feel that you're with me, right? So would he create it, move it from non-existence into existence if he did not love it? No, he wouldn't. Either he loves that it be there, or he loves its consequence. Right? And that is bi mahabba. What he ajriha and for it, because it's gonna lead in the long term to something that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves. Otherwise, Allah will not create it. Allahu la muqiha lah. No one can tell Allah to do anything. So he creates it, meaning the sun is there because Allah what? Loves it to be there. And the moon, Allah loves it to be there. And he commands the angels to do A, B, and C because he loves what they are going to do when they listen to him. And Allah Azza wa Jalla sends the rain, and Allah makes it hot, and Allah makes it cold, Allah makes it snow. Because of what? Because Allah loves it. Otherwise it does not happen. Either loves it directly, as we said, or loves the consequence of it. So this entire universe, when it moves, every movement of it moves because of love. And in fact, if you think about it, and we're going to be emphasizing these points to Ibn Allah Azza wa Jalla so that we don't forget them, every movement of yours is a movement based on love. So, when you eat, why do you eat? Consequently, why? You say, because of this, because of this, because of that, it's because you love. Because you love yourself, you want to nourish your body. So you feed it. That's why you eat. That's why you drink. That's why you work. That's why you have children. Even when you run away from something, even when you hate something, why do you hate something? Because it's what harms you. And why does that matter? Because I love the opposite, which is my benefit. So you hate even because of love. Right? So this is Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is His creation, and this is the movement of every living being, animals or humans. And we talked about the ibadah, right? That the ibadah is based on what? Again, pop quiz. You gotta listen, right? Huh? Love and what? And surrender. Barakallahu fikum. So love and surrender. And has anyone, when you were sometimes studying Aqeedah, you may have felt it a bit dry? Technical? Huh? Don't be shy. It's technical, right? So it can be very dry. But there's another way to actually study Aqeedah and to study Tawheed. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قُلْ تَعَالَ وَأَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. He says, come and let me tell you what Allah had forbidden for you, that you don't associate partners with Him. So Mujahid said, as Ibn Rajab has quoted him, he says, لَا تُحِبُّ غَيْرِي. Don't let anyone beside me. At the back level. That reserve your utmost love for me. Love your wife. Love your husband. Love your children. Love yourself. But that extreme love, that full love, give it only to me. So, shirk is what? Shirk in love. Shirk in love. So, this is again Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. And he says, وَأَمَّا الشِّرْكُ فَهُوَ نَوْعَانَ أَكْبَرُ وَأَصْغَرُ. Shirk is a two types, major and minor. You know this, major and minor. And he says the major one, the one that Allah does not forgive except for the repentance. And he says that he will take a partner with Allah Azza wa Jalla that he loves as he loves Allah. Shirk is about love. That he loves as he loves Allah. And this is making him equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says the shirk of the polytheist generally is not in terms of them thinking that they create like Allah and provide like Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says that's not the case. They don't really believe that. But they love their idols or love their intercessors or love whomever they are worshipping as much as they love Allah Azza wa Jalla. So it is shirk in loving them. And of course, when you love someone that much, your heart becomes a slave to it, a servant of it. attached to it. And that's how, why you have to watch out what you love. And that you have to be careful with whom you give your love to, because it can either inspire your heart or promote it. Take it up to the upper heavens or throw it deep down into the mud. It will shape your heart. So the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla is the best of love. And so he's saying, shirk is about love. And then he also says, rahimahullah, he says, know that the most beneficial type of word, mahabba, love, that a person can have, is that love of the one whose love is in your fitrah. من جبلت القلوب على محبته وفطرت الخليقة على تأليه. That is, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal is embedded in your heart. And you are forever going to be seeking and searching for that love. And you will never find it unless you find Allah Azza wa Jal. And you will ever be trying to fill that vacuum with human love and material love, but none of these things can take the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah Azza wa Jalla had made you hardwired to look for Him. Right? That you will always be incomplete. So you understand the idea of the soulmate. Right? What is the idea of the soulmate? The idea that there is one person that if you find them, they will complete you. So for the rest of your life, you have to search for them. And unless you find them, you will always be incomplete. Is that familiar? Right? What are they actually talking about? That is Allah. Because there's no human being that can complete you. Because you yourself are incomplete. Do you think that you can complete someone? You can be a good match, but you can actually be everything for that person? It is a fairy tale. The only one that you need to find to be actually fully complete and fully content is Allah Rabbul Alameen. And He put this inside you as a fitrah. You'll always be looking for Him. So He says the most beneficial love that a person can have is the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it's a tragedy that we have been taught to love everything, but not been taught to love Allah Azza wa Jalla. We're missing out on the most beneficial love of all. The love that when you have it, everything else will make sense. And then you will actually can be a loving person. But when you don't have it, you'll always be jumping from one love to the other and being constantly disappointed. So he said, right, that this entire creation has this love in their heart. And he said, the heavens and the earth are there because of it. This is what I want you, inshallah, to absorb, how powerful this notion is. That this, as-samawatu as-sab wal-ardun, all of them, all the creation that you see is there because of one thing, and that is the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They are sustained because of His love, and they continue because of His love, and they are there to serve you because of His love. So when you look at them, feel Allah's love behind all of that. And he said, وَهِيَ سِرُّ شَهَادَةِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He says, this is the secret of saying لا إله إلا الله. لأنه ود لأن الإله
الذي تأله القلوب بالمحبة والإجلال والتعظيم. Meaning, who is the إله? So when you're going into with sujood to Allah Azza wa Jal, with ruku' to Allah Azza wa Jal, when you make dhikr, when you are staying away from the haram, yes, on the one hand, you're afraid of Allah's punishment. And yes, you don't want the harm that these things will bring to you. But when you think about it, that I'm doing this because it brings me closer to Allah and it will give me His love and I will feel His love, you will be motivated in a different way to complete and perfect that ibadah. It's not a drag. It's not only a threat now, but it's something that you want to do. Right? There is, in education, they talk about an internal motivation and an external motivation. What is the external motivation in education? That is, do this, and here's a sticker. Do this, and here's a piece of candy. So you'll solve your homework, and you'll answer questions, because you don't want what? A sticker and a piece of candy. And what happens when we start providing that? The effort stops, right? The effort stops, because you're not receiving that external motivation. The internal motivation, on the other hand, is because you want to do this because you want to do this. Because you love math, because you love science, because you love history. So as an educator, you want to move your students from an external motivator into an internal motivator. Now you don't need the stickers and the candy. Now you love the subject itself. Now you want to move yourself and you want to move your children from wake up for Fajr, or Allah will burn you in hellfire, into pray Fajr because you need it and because you need the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that you have to at one point stop telling them wake up for Fajr, and they stop waking for Fajr themselves. And you want to do that with yourself. Stay away from the haram, not only because Allah is watching me and Allah will burn me, and that is an incredible motivator, so you never want to let go of that, but also because if I do this, do I want to distance myself from Allah Azza wa Jal, and He's everything I have? I don't want to lose Him. Not only He's going to punish me and He sees me, it's not just like a camera that is watching you. Yeah, it's effective. But do I want to lose His love? And you know when Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, and famously, Allah told him, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. All of your sins are forgiven, past and future. And he is standing in salah for such long periods until his feet, alayhi salatu wa salam, they swell and they break. And Aisha radiallahu anha looks with compassion and mercy at him, and she said, why are you tormenting yourself like this? Didn't Allah Azza wa Jal tell you that I've forgiven all of your sins? You know the answer, but before I get to the answer, you understand what Aisha radiallahu anha was telling him? That is, Ya Rasulullah, you are doing so much, you're not afraid of sin anymore. You're not afraid of hellfire anymore. So why doing so much? And what is his answer, alayhi salatu wasalam? He says, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shall I not be a thankful servant of Allah? That is, I'm not doing this because someone is chasing me and I'm afraid of hellfire. خلاص, I'm secure. I'm done with that. But now I have a different connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, the Almighty, Al-Wadud, the All-Loving, that I'm doing it for Him. I'm doing it for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he says, he continues, rahimahullah, and there's something here that I wanted to emphasize. He says, فَإِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ فُطُورَةٌ مَجْبُولَةٌ عَلَى مَحَبَّةِ مَنْ أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْهَا وَأَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهَا. He says, your heart had been fashioned, had been created to love one who is nice and kind to you. Anyone who is kind to you, you automatically will love him back. He says, فَكَيْفَ, how is it then? How much love would you have for the one whom all good things come from? All the good things that have come to you in your life had come from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So he says, وَعَظَمَةُ وَالْمَحَبَّةُ لَهَا دَاعِيَانَ الْجَمَالُ وَالْإِجْمَالُ. And he says, love has two causes, beauty and the giving that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives, al-ihsan. What does he mean that all good things come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, طيب, somebody in the street stops you, gives you something for free, water, and it's really a hot day. Do you feel gratitude for that? Absolutely. Your parents, your spouse, your children give you a gift simply for the sake of what we love you. Do you feel gratitude and love? Absolutely you do. طيب. Now think about it. Everything that your parents had given to you was supplied because of who? Allah Azza wa Jal. Who put in the hearts of your parents that they should love you? That connection. Who created that connection? Allah Azza wa Jal, who created in your heart the connection towards your children and their connection to you, the connection towards your spouse and their connection to you, the love that you have towards people and them loving you back. You think that if we really, if people really know us, really fully know us, that they will love us as much as they love us? No. But Allah Azza wa Jalla did what? Hidden the worst part of us and exposed the best parts. And so people love you. And you say, what did I do to deserve that love? And what did I do to deserve that attention? And what did I do to deserve that gratitude? And you did what? Nothing except that Allah Azza wa Jalla is kind to you and love you. So He gave you all of it. So all that love that you're receiving, you receive because of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In addition to all the ni'mas, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Every ni'mah, if you count it, comes to you from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So count. My parents because of Allah. My children because of Allah. The food that I eat because of Allah. If I'm safe because of Allah. So he says, the heart will love Allah Azza wa Jalla when you understand the ni'mas that He had given to you. So this is one thing that would cause you to love Him subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Remembering the ni'mah. But he says, this is not the only reason. This is da'i al-ijmal. This is what Allah gave you. But there is also da'i al-jamal. That Allah in Himself is the most beautiful and the most generous, that on His own, He deserves to be loved. Even if He gave nothing, on His own, He deserves to be loved. So you love Allah Azza wa Jal because of who He is. And you love Allah Azza wa Jal because of what He gives. And most people have access to which of the two? The first or the second? The second. Because of what Allah gives. Most people have access and they love Allah Azza wa Jal because of what He gives. And it is from that that they can climb into loving Allah because of who He is. It's a step. But you don't immediately discover that unless Allah pulls you to Him. So how does Allah pull you to Him? He reminds you of His ni'mas. I've given you this. You find that repeated in the Quran. And the rain, and the plants, and protection, and. So why Allah Azza wa Jalla reminding of these ni'mas? Of course, to solidify tawheed, so that you don't call on anybody else except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also that you would graduate in love from that into loving Allah Azza wa Jal for who He is. So the first level of love and the first level of Iman is weak. Is weak. It's not that it's insufficient. Alhamdulillah, it is sufficient. But that's the weakest level. That's like when وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ. There are people who will worship Allah Azza wa Jal on an edge. On the edge. Meaning not very stable. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, in explaining this, he said, a person would accept Islam and migrate to Medina. And then if his wife gives birth to healthy children and his animals give birth to healthy progeny, he says this is a good religion. And if his wife miscarries or does not give birth and his animals die, he says this is a cursed religion. That is, ibadah is based on what? What we receive or what we're denied. Right? So when you find your iman, and all of us are subject to this, when you find your iman that it's great when Allah gives you, but it dips when Allah does not give you, that is, we're still in that state of what? The first level. And we need to emphasize the thankfulness of Allah Azza wa Jal when He gives and when He takes, the gratitude, and climb into a state where we thank Allah Azza wa Jal regardless for who He is. And we see Allah's denial as giving. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He denies us, we see it as He giving us. But that takes iman, that takes wisdom. Right? So when Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, when he said, this is love, he calls it وَبِهَذَا التَّوْحِيدِ فِي الْحُبِّ أَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ جَمِيعَ رُسُلِهِ وَأَنزَلَ جَمِيعَ كُتُبِهِ وَأَطْبَقَتْ عَلَيْهِ دَعْوَةُ جَمِيعِ الرُّسُلِ مِنْ أَوَّلِهِمْ إِلَىٰ أَخِرِهِمْ. So I'm going to translate this piece. He says, with this tawheed in love, Allah sent all of His messengers and revealed all of His books. And then all the message of the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal from the first to the last are unanimous in calling to. And it is for it that Allah had created the heavens and the earth. And He created Jannah. And He created hellfire. So He made Jannah for the people of His love. And He made hellfire for the people who associate others with His love. That is, when you hear this, does it start to convince you that love is essential in Islam? Does it start to convince you that love is central to Allah Azza wa Jal's creation, to Allah's message, to Allah's relationship to Him, and how you should relate to the Quran and how you should relate to Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam? And we will inshaAllah see it also in how to relate to other people as well. So Allah Azza wa Jal, when He calls you to His worship, what does He want from you? Just simply surrender and submission? When He wants you to stay away from the haram, what does He want from you? Simply surrender and submission? Or is there something else that Allah Azza wa Jal wants to build up in our hearts? That is, love Me more than you love anything else. And be willing to sacrifice for Me more than anything else. And that is the thing that shows how much we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is that love? That love is waiting for us. How? When we learn where to find it. So this series, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, is not intended to be simply a theoretical, a cerebral study. That we will learn it, bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. But then what happens after you learn it? I don't want it to be academic. It shouldn't be academic, because you're not going to feel the love of Allah Azza wa Jal unless you actually start practicing these things. So when you hear Iman is based on love, Ibadah is based on love, and you discover how in detail, we would have to take these details and start applying them and make the love of Allah Azza wa Jal our main motivation. With the other balancers in terms of emotions, but make Allah Azza wa Jal and His love our main motivation. So we learn it, but we need to apply it. You take it and you need to change your life based on it, or at least have an intention and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to help us make it so. And teach others that there is another complementary, primary way of understanding Islam and also relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, keep these questions in mind, okay? And keep, you know, other questions in mind, inshallah. So let me read some of these questions. What does it mean to love Allah Azza wa Jal, and how? What are the contemporary understandings of love? Because we're not only going to be discovering love in Islam, we're going to be trying to correct love in popular society. Notions of love. Of what to love and what not to love. What love means. Is love, as we said, an absolute value, or does it need to be guided? Right? What does it mean to be romantically involved? What does it mean when we say love is unconditional? And can love be unconditional? Can you love without hate? And what is hate based on? And what do we mean by hate? Can love be an extreme? Can it be harmful? What examples do we have of that? And in a sense also, we're trying to offer not only Muslims but also the general society and an understanding of what they're missing. So you are living in a secular society, and a secular society has God inside or banishes God. Do you feel God in a secular society? No, you don't feel, right? So nobody talks about God. Values that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves are not inside society. It doesn't regulate, it doesn't inspire. So the only thing that you talk about is what? In a secular society, the material. So secular society is very materialistic in motivation, in assessment, and in reality. The only thing that matters is the flesh and money and worldly success. And that dries up the heart and the soul. They shrivel. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla did not create you to simply eat and drink. You need something else to feed the soul. But what feeds your soul in a secular society? Nothing. So what is left? You're left with what? A gaping hole. You're left with the cries of the soul and the heart. So you try to numb it. How do you numb the soul and the heart in a secular society? You drink. And you take intoxicants. And you suffer because of it. You buy. And you keep buying. You distract yourself by worldly pleasure. And you keep moving from one to the other. And you try to drown the pain of the soul and the pain of the heart. So what we're trying to say is that there is something very lacking in a secular society. And if you're in it, you must notice it and feel it. And then if they try to balance it by saying love. The only thing that matters is love, and love is the answer. So they sing the praise of love. But it's incomplete, incoherent, and it doesn't really have answers to those who want to understand what to love and how to love it, and how does this actually help me? And how does it answer my questions? So we want to answer those questions as well, so that we be able to practice our religion the best, and we're able also by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal to offer a vision of religion and a vision of Islam that says to them, here is how you can love Allah Azza wa Jal, not in an extreme fashion. Because they push for that, whether it's within Islam or outside of Islam. Not in an extreme fashion that undermines the transcendence of Allah, or undermines the laws of Allah, or undermines heaven and hell. No, in a balanced fashion that makes you a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a balance. But we need to understand it without exaggeration. And the series, inshallah, the lectures, inshallah, are going to complement the book. So the book is available and you can purchase it. So the person may ask, what is the connection between the lecture and the book? Basically, they're supposed to be complementary. So the book will have more details. But in the lecture, I'll offer a little bit more explanation of certain points in the book, examples, highlights. So hopefully, if you read and listen, or listen or read, you'll be able, inshallah, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, to have the best of picture when it comes to what this hadith is saying and what it wants from you. And if there are something missing from the book or missing from the lecture, you'll find it in the other, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. And a relationship also to a book previous to this, which is Heart Therapy, whether you have listened to it online or you've read it. These books are supposed to, again, complement each other. The Heart Therapy is about cleansing the heart and building up your iman, tazkiyah. And that I would consider the foundation before this book. But you still can listen and read this book before that one. But I would still recommend, if you finish this book in terms of what, either reading it or listening to this series, go back to Heart Therapy. Because in order to build up the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, we also need to cleanse the heart from its attachments. The heart is an arena of competition of love. So you love Allah Azza wa Jal, but guess what? You love also what? What is, by the way, the main competition to the love of Allah? If you were to, someone were to ask you. The main competitor. Love ourselves, right? You love yourself. And yourself is part of what? You're in what? The dunya. Because you love yourself, right? But you love yourself, so you want for it what? The dunya. So, حب الدنيا ورأس كل خطية. The love of the dunya is at the root cause of all sin. So when you're struggling internally with this and that, understand that you're struggling with the love of Allah on the one hand, but then the love of the dunya on the other, which includes, as the sister said, the love of the self. So unless you're able to cleanse the heart of those attachments, wrong attachments, to sin, to shirk, to bid'ah, to things that we've just gotten used to. Unless you're able to do that, you're not going to have enough space for the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It will always be minimal and minuscule and small. And it will be easy to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla for the sake of other greater loves. But if you're able to displace the love of the dunya and put a love of Allah inside, then you will feel the sweetness of ibadah, and you will feel the motivation for it, and you'll feel that you want to do more for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you will feel the sweetness after you do it. Because again, you're not doing it out of compulsion. You're not doing it because you have to. You're doing it also because you want to. And there's a huge difference between the two. And somebody forcing you to go somewhere, and you saying, I want to be there. So, bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla, we're going to stop here. And I want to see, bi'idhnillah, if you're going to have questions for me. The plan, bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla, is that we want to do one hadith per week. Now, I may decide later on that we could do a couple of hadiths a week, depending on how things proceed. But at least the plan, bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla, now, if you want to follow up, is that today we did the introduction. Bi'idhnillah Azza wa Jalla, his tawfiq, next week we'll do hadith number one, and so on and so on. And if the plan changes, bi'idhnillah, I will let you know. But I want to leave a few minutes at the end, bi'idhnillah, to see if you have questions, let me know. Or things that you want to add, that's welcome. Yeah, please. Alaykum as-salam. I'm sorry, just if you... Animals would not be capable of loving Allah. Okay. Is that your question? Okay. So is it that a way of distinguishing between animals and humans in that animals cannot love Allah, but humans can? I would say that humans have the ability to love Allah at levels that is not available to animals, right? So you see, for instance, when you're around animals for a long time, that the animals do love you, right? They actually have that capacity to love. They love their children, they love those who are kind to them, and sometimes they are so loyal that they are more loyal than a lot of human beings, right? So we know that they have that capacity. And if we know that Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that everything praises Allah Azza wa Jalla and knows Him, we know then that the animals have their own salah and that they have own dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That in their heart and in their minds they know their Creator and they understand who He is and they praise Him subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that are not accessible to us. So they have that knowledge and they have that type of, let's call it ibadah, but they're not required to actually do our type of ibadah, but let's call it dhikr. If they do that type of dhikr and they have that type of knowledge, I will not deny them that basic level of love of Allah Azza wa Jalla, right? So I think that is available to them. But the humans have the ability to transcend because they have books from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ability to reason and understand that they could climb in levels of love of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that would not be available to the animals. So that is my reply. And I hope that is convincing. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. So, the question is that if Allah Azza wa Jalla creates things because He loves them, and don't think that I did not anticipate that question, right? But I was just kind of keeping it till next sessions. But we can quickly answer it, inshallah. So, if Allah Azza wa Jalla creates everything because He loves them, why is it that He created the shaitan? And also, why is it that He created alcohol and drugs and then goes and prohibits them, right? So remember that I said that Allah Azza wa Jalla creates everything because of love and for love. Either he loves it immediately, directly, or he loves the consequence of it. Right? So Allah Azza wa Jal can read things that he loves, like Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, like all the prophets, right? All beautiful things that he sees, things that he loves, and they are beneficial. But he creates Iblis. Because he loves Iblis at this moment, or loves what Iblis leads to. He loves what Iblis leads to. And what does Iblis lead to? He becomes a test for humanity. Without Iblis, the test will not be available. And we'll talk about that, inshallah. But just for now, I just want to let you know. Because you're going to ask me, why do we need the test? That's for later. But for now, Iblis serves a function. Right? So in this whole structure that we call the universe and the creation of Adam and heaven and hell and all of this and the messages of Allah Azza wa Jal, Iblis serves a function. Without him, that function or that end will not be available. The same thing with alcohol and drugs. They serve as a test, right? So Allah Azza wa Jal can see who loves him more than what tempts him. Who loves him more than what tempts him on this earth. So if you can say no to these things, then your love for Allah grows. And that is a test that solidifies and grows your love. Without it, your love would not grow. So it's this test, it is this ordeal, it is this testing that grows your love. So Allah loves it for that. Not Allah knows the harm that is in it, and Allah wants you to say no to it because of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why, right? So can I just like roughly answer your question? A little bit? Does it? Okay, good. Okay, you had a question. Okay. Does Allah forgive shirk if what? Okay, so if someone is alive and they commit shirk and they repent from it, then everything is forgiven. So repentance will forgive everything, including shirk, right? So when we say that shirk is not covered by Allah's forgiveness, we mean that after a person dies, having not repented from it, a major shirk, and there is no excuse, he received Allah's message, he knows it, he understands it, did not repent from it, dies in that state, we say that cannot be forgiven. But as long as the person is alive and breathing and they repent, all of that can be forgiven. Okay? Okay, inshallah. So, let me try to see this. Okay, so, in which context or content, I think context maybe, you mentioned the questions like, can we love unconditionally, and two more questions. The meaning of loving Allah is, do you mean that the answers to these questions we're going to find in these lectures? Yes, that's what I mean. That is, as these lectures, inshallah, unfold one by one, we're going to be tackling some of these questions based on the hadith. So we'll take one hadith, we'll understand it, and we'll say, let's see what that hadith teaches us about some of these things that we're talking about. So hopefully, bi-idhnillah, by the end of it, you have understood as much about love as is possible, or at least as you need. So all these questions, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, as far as I know, they are still in the book, so bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, we're going to answer them. So I think the question is here, right? This is not a question. Okay. So, I think we're about done. Anyone who has just one extra question? Oh, tell. Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Concept of what? I'm sorry? Mercy. Nah. The concept of love and concept of mercy. So, of course you understand that Allah Azza wa Jal loves, and He is Al-Wadud. So one of His names, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Wadud, the all-loving. And that Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful, and He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, so He is also has a name based on mercy. So these are His names, and these are His sifat. And we understand that there is sometimes overlap between them, and sometimes they don't overlap, right? So, Allah Azza wa Jal you can discover a lot about Allah's love through His mercy when you find Him being merciful with the believers, and even merciful with the non-believers by delaying their punishment, by sending them prophets, by sending them reminders. This is all an echo or a reflection of His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, no, it's His mercy, it's His rahmah. At the same time, a person who is disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal with shirk, you wouldn't say that Allah loves him at this moment. You didn't say that Allah loves what he's doing at this moment, but Allah is merciful with him. Right? So Allah Azza wa Jal loves what he loves, right? But he is merciful with everybody at all times. And even, subhanAllah, even when Allah Azza wa Jal gets angry, right? And at that particular moment, he's not merciful, you could still find in his anger signs of mercy. Because when he's angry and he punishes and he takes away the harmful things, right, on this earth, he removes them, that's rahmah. So Allah Azza wa Jal, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is constantly rahim. And Allah Azza wa Jal, right, is constantly loving of the believers. And Allah Azza wa Jal, love can be constantly seen as well as His rahmah. But they don't always overlap. So Allah can be merciful with some, but not loving of what they're doing, and not loving of what they are at that moment. Although later they could change. Right. So that, wallahu a'lam, is the best that I could offer at this moment, inshaAllah. But allow me to think more about it, and maybe I'll have more to say about it. Khair, inshaAllah. Tayyib, barakallahu feekum, wa jazakumullahu khaira. We're going to continue, inshaAllah, same time, same day, bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla rabbil alameen. You could come, bi'idhnillah, to these lectures, having read everything, or at least just having read the hadith, or maybe having read nothing. But what I hope, inshaAllah, from you, that when you're present, inshaAllah, be as attentive as you can and absorb it. And if you can go back and read, that's wonderful, but at least absorb it and then say to yourself, I've learned something new today, hopefully you've learned it, then what am I going to do with that thing? And as we accumulate knowledge, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, let's see if our practice and our relationship with Allah azza wa jal can improve. And not only our relationship with Allah as you will go through the book, but also your human-to-human relationship, human family relationship with neighbors, and also with animals, and also with everything that is around you. If we're saying that everything is based on love of Allah Azza wa Jal, let's see the manifestation of that knowledge in our behavior, bi'idhnillah. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.